This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we are joined by
Lieutenant Colonel Trevor Boswell of NORAD.
NORAD?
NORAD.
Ooh, I didn't think you wanted to see NORAD people.
Not typically.
Yeah, no. They're
except
scary.
At a show like this. Except at a show like this.
Okay,
right?
Good. Right. Yeah. Good, yeah.
This
yeah.
is a good visit. Normally, you would see these people and something bad's happening.
Yeah, or you're doing something you shouldn't be.
Yes,
and
very
they
much
found
so.
Out about it.
Yeah, and we're talking about
exactly that
aircraft intercepts. You've busted a TFR. Oh yeah,
you're
not
someplace you
news.
Shouldn't be, and someone wants to come and talk to you about it.
Yes,
yeah,
and they
yeah,
want
exactly.
to talk to you now.
in a hurry.
Yeah. And they bring fast pointy airplanes.
Yes, and they're armed too. Remember that.
Well, that's exactly why we're here, gentlemen. Thanks for having us so much. We're here to talk to all the general aviation pilots that are out there and get the word out about not violating TFRs.
That's the first leg.
There have been some very famous incidents involving busting TFRs. There was a couple of pilots from Lancaster who infamously busted a TFR a few years back. And this is the kind of scenario you want to avoid.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, the other side of the picture is what to do should you be intercepted.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we're handing out cards. So as far as, we're located in Hangar D. We've got a booth up there in the International Federal Pavilion. And our team is out there to give presentations and obviously interviews and whatnot like this as well. But we're here to talk to the general public about TFRs, what they are, all the different types of airspace and everything that you might encounter while you're flying out there, but specifically TFRs and even more specifically defended TFRs. So you're talking like presidential TFRs, major sporting events, national conventions for elections and that kind of thing.
Right. So those are the ones that there's people there. You're not going to slip through unnoticed.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. So we're there to discuss exactly the card that you guys are both looking at. We've got these handouts that we give out in our presentations and that you can come pick up at the booth as well. But we're talking about all the different types of airspace and how to flight plan properly so that you avoid the airspace. And if you can't avoid the airspace, how you can navigate through it successfully without getting a visit from one of our friendly fighters around the country.
Your fast, pointy airplanes.
That's exactly right.
How many intercepts per year you guys normally do?
That's a really good question. I'm not exactly sure because it kind of fluctuates year to year. We had a little bit of a spike last year, and it's kind of ramped up a little bit more as people are getting back in the air, like we see at the show and stuff. But relatively, we're looking at like maybe about 4 launches or scrambles a week.
Doesn't
necessarily lead to an actual engagement, i.e., an aircraft visually next to another aircraft.
Right. That's a lot, though.
But it's a frequent occurrence. Yeah,
yeah.
It's more frequent than we'd like it to be, and that's exactly why we're here. We're trying to prevent that from happening.
Right. And you think with all the digital access to information and glass cockpit equipment out there that TFRs are easy to find out about.
It is. Yeah. The access to information is like we've never seen before. Right. However, people still don't, read the NOTAMs. All the basic general aviation type of flying stuff, they still are having some issues with that. So we're trying to reinforce those basic practices and habits. But I will say, since we started this program about 17, 18 years ago in earnest, in the form that it is right now, we have seen a dramatic drop-off in the overall number of intercepts. So it is working. It is a positive step in the right direction, but we're still seeing more than we would like to see.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, should you be intercepted, you will be directed to land somewhere and answer questions? I mean, I don't even have any idea what
Yeah,
happens.
So there's a normal sequence of events. We work with our partners at the FAA and specifically air traffic controllers around the country, and they start the process via normal radio communication. And if you lose that radio communication or you're not in your flight plan and you're going someplace where you shouldn't be, they're going to try to get a hold of you on their frequency. And if they're not able to do that, then they're going to try to reach out to you on guard, 121.5. And if they can't get a hold of you there, then they may start getting a little more concerned and they may start calling us to say, hey, please launch these fighter aircraft because they're getting too close to the thing that we are defending. That being said, if we never are able to speak with you ahead of time, or if air traffic control is never able to contact you, then those fighters will show up, and they'll typically show up on your left-hand wing. And at that point, they're going to start trying to communicate with you on 121.5 as well. That's the primary frequency that they communicate with you on. And if they can't, then they're going to use visual signals. They're going to rock their wings as they pass you on the left-hand side. And then from there, if you don't respond by following the direction of travel that they're trying to get you to go, then they may take more aggressive action at that point. And just because you see one off your left wing doesn't mean that there's not another one about 3 miles behind you, just monitoring the situation to see how you respond. And so really the one that is behind you is the one that you're a little more concerned about.
Yeah.
All of this is predicated on the fact that, you know, somebody is doing something nefarious. The problem is we don't know what's going on. And that was what we saw in 9/11, right? We don't know what that person is doing. So we have to get eyeballs on to really validate it unless they start talking to us on the radio.
Which hopefully they do.
Absolutely.
And they're
absolutely.
Like, what?
Yeah,
sure the alarm in their voice.
And you know, there are innocent mistakes that happen all the time, and we are forgiving in that respect, but there are certain points and thresholds that we can't let go any further, and so that's where everything would turn ugly. But fortunately, we've never had an incident where we've had to take any actual action against an aircraft beyond forcing them to land someplace.
Now, does that also initiate an FAA investigation of you as a pilot, what you did? And
probably so. Yeah, there's going to be definitely some questions, right? So if we direct you to land someplace and you land, you can expect to be met by law enforcement of some kind, whether it's local law enforcement, FBI, Secret Service, just depends on where you're located. And at that point, you can expect a discussion, we'll call it, with that agency to determine what you were doing, why you were doing it, and how you got to that point. And, you know, 99% of the time, it's just a common innocent mistake. You know, I wasn't aware. I didn't read the NOTAMs. I didn't know it was active. I was NORDO, mechanical malfunction, something, you know, something like that. But there's, you know, potentially that 1% chance where they talk to you and they find out, oh, well, you're doing something bad. But it's very unlikely.
Yeah. Good.
It's also remarkably rare. NORDO, I can see having, you know, busting a TFR because of that. Mm-hmm. But it just seems to me in the information age, there is no way that you can't find the NOTAM.
Don't let humanity surprise you.
Yeah, as long as you actually look.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
We excel at being stupid. Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss until it's not, right?
And yeah.
This is what we run into most of the time is just a simple error of you're not paying attention, you're sightseeing, you're trying to give your friend a ride, and you're talking to them, and you're just not paying attention.
So. Or you're off course and you have no idea where you are.
Exactly right.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you run into a lost pilot or two.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, we're not the smartest guys in the world, right? So, yeah. So, talk to our wives.
I want to know if they ever get one that says, oh, I've been waiting for you guys, man. I have no idea where I am.
I'm sure that's happened a few times. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, so that's our focus for why we're here today. And then obviously we're kind of leading up to the holiday season and getting ready to track some Santa. So we do have some fun stuff for the kids to come on by the booth and grab from them. So, and you know, we can talk about Santa or whatever else you guys want to talk about. But yeah, we know we're just here having a good time, and we're so happy to be back. You know, it's great to be back at AirVenture.
And you are giving these cards out, right?
We are, yeah. So those cards are a compilation of all of the ICAO, the FAR, the AIM, all the procedures that you don't want to have to dig through and learn for the first time. We've kind of dug in the legwork ahead of time for you. We've got a lot of websites and resources on there for you to help flight plan properly.
Yeah, there's
a bunch. Be ready
to
go. And then on the back side of the card is the responding to a NORAD fighter aircraft that's intercepted you and how to accurately and positively communicate with them so that you don't, you know, give them the wrong message.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to give them the wrong message.
Yes.
And it's very definitely a pointy airplane on that.
It will be, yeah. An F-16, F-15, F-22, F-18, depends just where you're located.
But, doesn't even matter. When you look out the window, it's an F, oh my God.
Yeah. It will be a significant emotional event, as we like to call it. So the biggest thing is safety throughout this entire thing. As long as you remain predictable and don't do anything aggressive, then you'll be fine. And again, if there's any question in your mind as to whether something is safe or not, go on the side of caution and do the safe procedure, i.e. go around if it's not a safe condition to land or whatever the case may be. But just remain predictable.
Forgive me for saying this, but how can you get aggressive in a 152?
If you start, you know, jinking right into somebody,
turn towards the guy escorting you. That's all you got to do.
There you go.
Bad things might happen. But if you're following them, then that's totally fine. Obviously, they can outrun you in a fighter aircraft.
Outrun you. They could probably just gas you with the exhaust and blow you over.
That may be true. Yeah. No, we're going to do everything we can to deconflict altitude and make sure we have enough spacing and stuff like that. But we do have to get close. So you're going to see an aircraft, you know, maybe 100 to 300 feet off your wing, and it's going to look like something you've never seen before, hopefully. So yeah.
Yeah, at least not that close.
Yeah, it's we call it a good one-time free air show.
Yeah.
So hoping for the best.
And we also what was it? Significantly emotional event, or in other words, a brown pants moment.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Exactly right.
Now, typically, you don't land at the airport as well.
The fighter aircraft will not land 99% of the time. Again, if they're out of gas or something like that, they might have to. But yeah, typically they'll just do a low approach and make sure that you do touch down and land. And then at that point, as the aircraft that is under investigation, you're going to clear. You're going to stop in whatever ramp or taxi area that is there. And if the law enforcement's already on the ground, you can expect to be marshaled to some specific location. But if not, you just stop, shut your engine off, open your doors, and just sit there.
And keep your hands in full view. Make sure your seatbelt's fastened, because they'll ticket you for that.
Yep.
And be nice.
And then, be respectful, and don't be argumentative, for sure.
Definitely. And don't try to come up with an excuse, I was late.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Honesty, integrity, and transparency go a long way in those exchanges, for sure.
Yeah, definitely, because if you start goofing around, you're going to get yourself
arrested. Well, I imagine if it's like a local law enforcement that shows up, he has no idea why he's there either.
That's very true. Yeah, he may just be there to detain you until the other authorities could get there.
Right.
Typically for presidential TFRs, obviously the Secret Service is going to be involved. It's not just airborne assets that they have around wherever the president is going. They're probably going to come over there and meet you and have some questions. So you could probably expect to hang out for 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, get some lunch,
having a talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Having a talk. So, there are pictures, I'm sure, that are out there on the internet of people being held at gunpoint and stuff like that. And it all depends on that initial bit of interaction and what it was that you were violating, if you will, how close you got.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
And you guys are on field here, right?
We are, in Hangar D in the International Federal Pavilion. We've got a corner booth over there set up with all the rest of our international federal partners and stuff. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody out there. And we do have an aircraft that we brought with us that we use for training as well. So you can come check that also.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Trevor Boswell of NORAD.
NORAD.
And it's time to go. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.